Hope I can do this well. I had arrived a little bit late because of prior commitments, but I showed up in a huff, and I really wanted to do well. It was the bottom of the first inning. I was fifth up to bat. There was one out, and the bases were loaded. There was no time to warm up. I had arrived too late for that. Oh, I want to do so well here. There's only one thing on my mind, and it's drive the ball over the infield, get it out there. If it's a pop fly, that's okay, as long as it's deep enough that the runner from third can come home. Bases are loaded, one out. I'm not warmed up. Do not strike out. Okay, don't strike out. Work the count. Okay, it's 0-2. You started off with two strikes. Don't strike out. The count becomes full. Three balls, two strikes. Drive the ball to the outfield. I couldn't have hit it more perfectly for the pitcher. It went back to him, not too fast that he couldn't handle it, but not too slow either. He had more than enough time. I don't think I had taken a step and a half, two steps. No, not even. But the ball was in his glove too quickly. He turned and threw it to second base, who turned and threw it to first. And I'm quick, but I could not make it even close at first base. It was a double play, inning over. Could have changed the course of the game. One of the deep longings of our hearts is the longing to be fruitful, to contribute, to be the one who hits the ball to the outfield, drive in that single run, or, you know, maybe a couple more if you hit it even really well. We have a deep longing in our hearts, in all the spaces and places that we occupy, to be fruitful, to be awesome. I think this is deeply built into who we are as created beings, a deep longing to be fruitful and to multiply. God blessed us in Genesis with this blessing: be fruitful and multiply over all the earth. We have a fear of wasted moments, of wasted opportunities. And as we pay attention to this text today, you may hear in your own musings, in your own heart, spaces and places and opportunities where you have missed. I want you to listen carefully. Listen for how the Spirit of God is calling you into what it means to be a Christian who gives and lives with the fruitful Spirit within them. And pay attention. Where is the Spirit calling you to remember missed opportunities or to what's happening in your life today? We're in a sermon series on Galatians. And right now we're paying attention to this little section of Scripture. It's massive. 5:16 to 26 of Galatians. We're going to do it for three Sundays. We're going through this text a little bit overlapping each time to pay attention to the depth that this invites us into. We talked about faith and freedom and living by the Spirit, and now what does it mean to live by the Spirit? What if you are fully alive, human being, fully alive, living by the Spirit, then you produce this fruit. And so that's the Sunday that we come to today. Let me pray, and then we'll dive into this text. O Lord Almighty, we ask that through your word this morning, and oh, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you illumine our minds, rekindle our hearts, and strengthen our wills. In your name we pray, amen. So briefly, this passage of Scripture comes in context of Paul's letter to the Galatians. And he has just been talking about freedom, and saying, what does it look like if we use our freedom to live for ourselves? We will consume each other. We will devour one another. And then, by contrast, what does it look like if you live in the Spirit? Freedom in Christ, living by the Spirit, produces this fruit. This is one singular fruit. There's different aspects of it. So you can imagine the single diamond has nine facets to it. A single fruit with nine faces, nine facets to it. And as I talked about last Sunday, this is one command, not two. One command, live by the Spirit, and you'll produce the fruit of the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit. If you live by the Spirit, you will fulfill the desires of the Spirit. One command and one promise. Live by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's not a command, it's a promise. Live by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And again, that just a little reminder, that flesh stuff, it's about the human ways and beings and means where we kind of have this refrain, God helps those who help themselves, is one way of thinking about living in the world fleshly. If it's got to be, it's up to me. The only person I can depend on is myself. We trust not in God, but in the money, our provisions and our bank accounts. We trust in our resourcefulness and in our resources. Okay, so live by the Spirit, be fully dependent upon God. Easy to say, but what does it mean? If we're not supposed to trust in our own resourcefulness, I still have to go to work and earn the paycheck, don't I? Our pressures in our life rule us and define us, and so we can feel not quite so free in order to live by the Spirit. Instead, we feel pressured. What I want to invite you to further, as I did last Sunday, is that this text is inviting you to cooperate with the Spirit, learning what it means to live by the Spirit, to walk in step with the Spirit, that we can be fruitful and multiply the grace of God, so that where we are, the fruit of the Spirit can flourish. This is the human being fully alive. The other ways of being human are ultimately destructive, meaningless, and wasteful. So live by the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit. There is no law against this. You are free, fully alive, and nothing can stop you. No limitation to living in the Spirit and producing this fruit. So what does it look like if you are free, not using your freedom for self-indulgence, but rather producing this fruit? I'm going to go through these aspects of the fruit, and I want you to pay attention as I list off each one and reflect on it just momentarily. Is there one of these that you're maybe resisting in your life? Or is there one aspect of the fruit that you've just experienced recently from somebody, that you saw this facet of the fruit of the Spirit? Oh, that I just realized that that's what was happening to me yesterday. I was seeing this on display. So pay attention. Is there one of these that sticks in your mind this morning? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is based, founded, built on love. Jesus' sacrifice to us, for us. So deep the love of God, so deep the care of God, that you would be worth it. That you, your very self, you would be worth it. That he would chase after you because you are loved. You are so deeply loved by God. I hope that you can, as you go through your days of this life, learn this and feel it and know it. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Jesus describes the joy of God. In one time when he was asked some questions, he described the joy of God. God is like this. God is like a woman who lost a coin, a very important coin. And she searched everywhere, high and low, and when she finds the coin, she just celebrates and she wants to tell all her friends, I found it. Or the joy of God is like a shepherd. He leaves the 99 behind and goes chasing after that lost one. That's you. And when he finds that lost one and brings it home, he's so excited, he tells all his friends and has a great celebration with them. Behold, what was lost has been found. Or the joy of God is like a father who has a son. A son who has, for all intents and purposes, been lost. But now that son has returned. Do you know how happy I am my son has returned? Would you please celebrate with me? This is the fruit of the Spirit. It is joy. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace that passes understanding. The fruit of the Spirit is a peace even in the midst of darkness. Not the peace of somebody who has lost touch, that things are hard, not naivete, but a peace that relies on Jesus. A peace that relies on Jesus Christ, who is the rest and the comfort in all times. And the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Jesus walked around with the disciples, and before them, in front of them, he fed the 5,000, and then a short little while later, he fed the 4,000. And then he's with his disciples, hanging out with them, and then he says to them, "Beware the yeast of the Pharisees." And they start to mumble amongst themselves, "Is it because we have no bread?" And Jesus is like, "No, you guys, you're totally off base here." Jesus had patience with those who didn't get it. Jesus had patience with the crowds who didn't get it. Jesus had patience with the Pharisees who really didn't get it. Jesus had patience with the Roman centurions who crucified him. Jesus has patience with you and with me. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. It's a kindness that comes with the character of integrity. It's not kindness that is simply charity. I did it because I'm supposed to do it. It's the kindness that comes out of the character. It's part of the integrity of who this person is. Kindness as compassion. As busy as Jesus gets, as important as the work is, as he moves towards the cross, we hear these stories along the way where he was moved in his stomach, moved in his gut by compassion. I must turn aside and care for this person. Who touched you, Lord? How can you possibly know? I need to know. Somebody touched me. I need to see this. I need to feel this. I need to speak to this person. Jesus is moved by compassion and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit of Christ is goodness. Nobody is good but God alone. Sometimes this word is translated generosity as it is in the NRSV, but it is goodness. Jesus is good. What he does and who he is goodness personified. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Even as called to difficult things, Jesus was faithful in his calling. Faithful even though it meant going to the cross. Jesus is faithful. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness or meekness. Perhaps as the one that we are least attracted to because we think perhaps meekness means being a doormat. But only two people in the Bible were called meek, Jesus and Moses. Neither of these are pushovers. What does it mean then to be meek? Well, it means that I will not push you over in order to get my way. It also means no revenge. I will not seek eye for eye or tooth for tooth. Instead, I will be meek. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness in the way that Jesus was meek. And the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now here's an interesting one. Does this sound like it means the fruit of the Spirit aligns with our self-help? You know, the habits that we need to keep our life good, the disciplines? Is the fruit of the Spirit the ultimate self-help success story? I agree here with Daryl Johnson that the fruit of the Spirit is not the mastery of the self. Now you've got the whole fruit of the Spirit. If you have self-control, you have completed the power-up. It doesn't mean self-mastery. It means self-under-control. The Spirit is the one who opposes the flesh. The desire for anger and to lash out, does that mean, you know, if I don't have patience and I have that desire for anger, do I need to master myself more, discipline myself more, become more self-controlling? Or do I need to become more in step with the Spirit? And the Spirit will keep me from my anger. These are the facets of the fruit of the Spirit. Against this, there is no law. If you were blessed to grow up in a time where Bible memorization was popular and something that happened a lot of, perhaps you memorized this text, but you would have not just memorize the fruit of the Spirit, you finish that verse off, and it finishes off with, "Against these there are no law." So if there's also no law that makes there's no law against these fruit, I think it makes sense to also say that there's no law that can make this fruit happen. And that ties in with what Paul's been saying through chapters 2, 3, and 4. There's no law against them, and there's no law that can make this happen. You can't legislate, you can't fence in and make the fruit of the Spirit happen. For example, perhaps you can take gambling. I'm just going to pick one that I think we can handle. And I say Christians can't gamble. No good Christian gambles. So we're going to draw a line in the sand. Okay, well, that's cool. What else? Well, over the course of history, Christians have said there's a bunch of things you can't do sexually, so we're going to draw some more lines around you. And then there's about some other things about, there's jobs that Christians can't have, so we're going to draw these lines here too. And you end up making these lines, and then you build them into boundaries and walls. And you're starting to fence in the people of God. Can you produce of the fruit of the Spirit if you draw just the right boundaries and lines? Can you make the fruit of the Spirit happen by designing the perfect lines and boundaries around yourself and around other people? You foolish Comox Valleyans. Who has bewitched you? The only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Having started with the Spirit, you are now ending with the flesh. You cannot legislate. You cannot make the fruit of the Spirit happen by creating a new law. These lines will continue to make things smaller and smaller, and they're defined by whomever gets to make the definition, those who are in power. So if you focus on the works of the flesh and you try to turn them into these lines and fences and boundaries, you cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. What if instead, I mean, the desire for our children in particular is that we would make these fences so that they would grow up and know who Jesus is and be good Christians. But then we've created bounds and boundaries and fences that they can't see over. What if instead we fed our children, we fed each other, with the fruit of the Spirit? What if we fed each other with the fruit of the Spirit? Could it not produce the fruit of the Spirit? But can't we do both? Can't we focus on the fruit of the Spirit but also create these boundaries? No. They are opposed. The law, the works of the law, is opposed to the Spirit. The works of the law cannot produce the Spirit. The law is concerned with the works of the flesh. Instead, care for, nurture, produce this fruit in your life. Misspoke there. Of course, you don't produce it. You can also search for it and be a witness for it. As you go out in this world, as you work, as you play, as you interact with family, you can pay attention and see, is the fruit of the Spirit present in this interaction? And you will hear and see and know echoes of the fruit of the Spirit out in this world. What's wonderful right now is there is a large group of people that are saying what we need is love and peace. This is great. You could hear in that echoes, right? These are echoes of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, don't forget the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. So this is Christ's love, Christ's peace, and Christ's joy. That's why I used those as I tried to define these. So when we go out and we hear echoes of them, we may not find that it's the perfect fruit of the Spirit, but we can celebrate with others. Yes, love is good. And I want to just adjust love a little bit because I think it looks more like this, more like who Jesus is. Oh yes, peace is good. We desperately need a ceasefire. But we need the peace of Christ. The peace of God comes with justice and mercy. We need patience, but we need the patience that God has, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So what we can do is we can seek this fruit in our own lives and in the lives of others, trying to pay attention, where do I see this fruit around me? Can I see if it has all facets of the fruit? Does it have all nine faces? What can be disappointing as we go through this world is that we find that if I pick up a rock that it looks like it has four of the nine faces, look at this, it's beautiful, it must be perfect. Let's turn, oh gosh, the other side is ugly. right? We live in a broken and fallen world. How easy it is to find a gem that seems to have joy in it, but I turn it over and it's actually joy that came from happiness at something that was tragedy for somebody else. Can this be the joy of Christ? No, it's not. So perhaps I'm naive to think that we can go out and find the fruit of the Spirit, when instead we'll always find rocks that we turn over and ugly on the other side. But then I think of all the missed opportunities in my own life, when I wish I had produced the fruit of the Spirit as the perfect nine-faceted gem, but it didn't come out quite right. It's not about me being the hero. And even my missed opportunities, my failures, can be ground for the fruit of the Spirit to grow. And in seeking Christ, in longing for Christ to be known, these seeds can be planted. And it's not my capability that makes it happen. It's the Spirit's. And I trust and believe that living in and by the Spirit, that these breadcrumbs will be left in all the places that I am able to be, that the fruit of the Spirit will be like seeds planted by the Spirit in the places that I live. Because through Christ I live by the Spirit, and that these would be breadcrumbs for others to find love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Even my missed opportunities can be grounds for the fruit of the Spirit. It's not so much about my posture, trying to be the one who makes the fruit of the Spirit happen, but it's about my posture where I'm less focused on my ability to change things or to change myself, but on my willingness to be changed. Am I willing to let the Spirit rule in my life and form me and shape me towards greater alignment with the fruit of the Spirit? Am I willing to allow God's Spirit to direct me towards these nine facets of the fruit so that they could be prominent in my life and for others to partake in? It is the self under control of the Spirit that I long for. Each one of us is a planted being. I believe most of you here are planted in the Comox Valley. We may have visitors from elsewhere. You are planted by God where you are. And you may move from time to time. But where you are is where you are planted as a tree, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And it is this that we have been invited and called to from the very beginning in Genesis, when God blessed us and called us to be fruitful and multiply. It is by the Spirit that we fulfill that deep promise, through believing in the righteousness and faithfulness of God as Abraham did. We get to participate in living by the Spirit, producing this fruit. So as you go through your week, as you go through your days to come, you get every single day to learn what it means to live and produce the fruit of the Spirit more today than you did yesterday. You get to learn more what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. You have the opportunity this afternoon to learn to see the fruit of the Spirit in the world around you. Come and seize this opportunity. And tomorrow, you're going to wake up, and it's another day where you get to see the fruit of the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit, whatever situations you find yourself in. May this be your calling and your invitation to live connected in the life of God, living by the Spirit and producing the Spirit's fruit. Amen.